KNOM Update News, I'm Zachariah Hughes and it's 9:02. With the deadline for filing new legislation yesterday, opponents of the new oil tax system have offered their own alternatives. Senator Bert Stedman, a Republican from Sitka, filed his legislation on Friday, and it keeps the overall structure of the new system intact. The tax ceiling would remain at 35%, but credits for oil produced would be smaller. A trio of Democrats are taking a different approach. Senator Bill Welikowski, Senator Hollis French, and Republican and Representative Les Guerra would like to reinstate a modified version of the Alaska Clear and Equitable Share Policy, or ACES. They want to bring back the system that taxes profits on a sliding scale. Guerra says that the tax change made last year was not necessary, given that the North Slope oil production has been consistently profitable for producers.
Why are you giving away billions of dollars in Alaska revenue, cutting school funding, cutting construction jobs, harming the economy, just to benefit fields that are making among the highest rates of return anywhere in the world?
Parnell's oil tax legislation passed last year by a slim margin in the state Senate. Proponents of the new system argue that it's encouraged investment on the North Slope since its passage. Voters will have the final say on whether the system should remain in law. A referendum on oil taxes is scheduled to appear on the August primary ballot. Nome's Common Council met at City Hall last night for a regular meeting. Early on, Police Chief John Papasadora addressed the council on a proposed amendment to add money into the city's fiscal year 2014 budget to pay for starting a canine unit. Papasadora told the council that a trained police dog could help with search and rescue efforts, but is chiefly a way of dealing with illegal drugs in Nome.
The primary purpose of this dog, however, is going to be to address the drug issue that's been very well spoken of in this community and something I've been very vocal about. Heroin's in the community, methamphetamine's in the community, cocaine's in the community, marijuana, you name it, it's here. Our ability to interdict these things is relatively limited. This gives us a tool in the toolbox which is fully applicable towards that particular task.
In attendance were most of the officers in Nome's police department to show support for Officer Justin Tim, who came up with the specifics of the canine unit, which the council ultimately adopted. As part of the proposal, Tim agrees to stay with the NPD for 3 years and work as the principal handler for the dog once both he and the animal are fully trained. The canine unit is meant to expand the ways NPD can follow up when they suspect drugs might be present.
The drug interdiction program would include everything from home visits with probation officers to picking up stuff at points of transit, maybe in a post office, the airport, the flights, the posting the animal and the handler at the airport. So people coming in and out of transit points will see the dog and know what the dog is supposed to do.
The training, along with the dog itself, were budgeted at $12,000 and should be ready to get to work ahead of this summer. In his utility manager's report, John Handlin told the council that NSCDC received around 1,250 applications for energy subsidies, equating to more than $600,000 in rebates for Nome residents. The council's next scheduled meeting falls during the Iditarod's arrival in Nome and was pushed back until Monday, March 24th. The Bureau of Land Management has a plan for realigning a portion of Red Devil Creek this summer to stop mercury, arsenic, and antimony from eroding away into the river. The work will be done under a provision known as early action, and it's being done to quickly address erosion issues instead of waiting years for the full site cleanup. Mike McCrum is the Red Devil project manager.
What we want to do is make some modifications to Red Devil Creek to prevent tailings from migrating through the creek and into the Kuskokwim River.
Crews would excavate sediments around the main processing area and regrade another tailings area. That includes adding a sediment trap to catch any small tailings that begin to go downstream. The project is estimated to cost about $2 million. BLM staff will be in the YK Delta this week to present the plan and meet with residents. The first meeting is in Aniak, and a meeting in Bethel is set for Wednesday at 6 in the Cultural Center. They'll be upriver in the first week of March. McCrum says they're looking for comments and for feedback.
You know, what we're looking for is not just we like it, we don't like it, but sometimes people know things about the site or about the area that we don't know and things we haven't considered.
McCrum adds that the BLM does have long-term plans in the works.
It's not the final action. It's not what we're intending to do to address all the issues that we're aware of on the site. We're doing this ahead of schedule because we think that this is a situation that warrants some kind of an early action, some kind of a preemptive effort, if you will.
The Red Devil Mercury Mine operated from 1933 to 1971. By the 80s, it was considered abandoned, and the government began the long process of cleaning up. Studies have found buildup of metals and fish nearby. States issued warnings to residents not to collect subsistence foods in the area. They also warned that pregnant women and young children should avoid large-sized pikes and lush. Those are predators that can accumulate mercury over the years. The commander of Alaska's National Guard says the agency's conducting an internal investigation of several Guard members after allegations of sexual misconduct. Assistant Adjutant General Mike Bridges says the Guard is investigating 4 cases of alleged sexual assault, 4 cases of sexual harassment, and 4 other cases of misconduct. 5 of the Guard members under investigation are with the recruiting unit. Bridges said Monday that they have been suspended while the probe is going on, but the Guard would not specify a time period for the alleged cases of misconduct. Punishments for misconduct within the Alaska National Guard can run from a letter of reprimand to a dishonorable discharge without benefits. And residents of Mokoryuk on Nunivak Island are seeking more involvement in the island's muskoxen harvest. And it's happening as the 20-year-old agreement that guides management is set to undergo changes. The harvest of muskoxen is currently split between a registration hunt for cows and a costly permit lottery for bulls that's largely utilized by out-of-town sport hunters led by local guides. Managers have issued just 5 cows for local registration hunt in the past 3 years and have given out more than 30 to bull permits that go mostly to outsiders. Mayor Dale Smith spoke at the recent meeting in Bethel with the state and federal managers.
The way it stands now, they're favoring a commercial enterprise over subsistence way of living. And it was evident when they voted on that in early January. So of all the things we discussed, the main issue is subsistence priority, and that's our stance right now.
82 people signed a petition in Mokoryuk asking for a higher allocation of muskox for residents. They're seeking 30 more muskoxen, which would be taken from the outside permit hunt. In an effort to take a more active role in management, members of Mokoryuk's Tribal Council have formed a federally recognized tribal conservation district through the USDA. This program allows groups to help manage natural resources and establish conservation priorities. They can seek funding and build partnerships with other agencies. They unsuccessfully asked the Alaska Board of Game for an emergency allocation this January. Missing at the meeting in Bethel were the guides and transporters that earn their living working with out-of-town hunters. There were more cows harvested prior to the 2010-2011 season, but the last few years have had poor survival of calves. Whereas there used to be around 100 calves per year, now it's more like 60. The bull-to-cow ratio is also out of balance, getting as high as 138 bulls per 100 cows. Patrick Jones is a biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
When you have that many bulls, they're probably injuring a few cows. We'd like to have that number about 80 bulls per 100 cows. And so we have this surplus of bulls, even though the population's below our objective, we have this surplus of bulls, and it's to our benefit to lower that bull-cow ratio. So we've been allowing extra bull harvest. We have it, it's available, and it's to the benefit of the population at this point.
Decisions about who in the hunt gets the bulls and who gets the cows, however, is up to the Board of Game. A huge factor is the health of the food supply. The Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge does not have current data on the health of the range. The island's 1,853 reindeer eat on the same territory. Managers at the meeting agreed to revise the 1992 document that sets the foundation for muskox management on Nunivak Island. There'll be a meeting in March on the island to discuss revisions and meet with stakeholders. Checking in New York, the price of gold is up $5.80 to $1,342.40. Silver's up 1 cent to $21.98 an ounce, and zinc is at 93 cents a pound. At this point, Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is expected to arrive in Nome on time at 11:20. Unofficially 21 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.